You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome aboard to the Gym Class here in KGYM as we come your way here on a brand new week, Monday, January the 10th, the National Championship edition of the program. Got a great show for you coming up today. We're going to talk some wrestling with KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll talk high school wrestling. We'll also talk college wrestling as it was a big weekend at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City as a much-anticipated debut took place, and we'll talk about that with KJ coming up in a little bit. We'll take a look at yesterday's Week 18 of the NFL season. It was a wacky one, and that included last night slash almost this morning's ending of the game between the Raiders and the Chargers. We'll get to that on the program today. The Iowa women with a big win yesterday on the road in Lincoln, Nebraska, as they took down the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And that and a whole lot more coming your way here on the Gym Class, as well as getting ready for the national championship game coming up tonight, as it'll be Alabama and Georgia in the rematch of the SEC championship game that took place in Atlanta. Alabama winning that particular ball game and spoiling the perfect season of the Georgia Bulldogs. Who will win in the rematch? We have it for you tonight. All of our frequencies starting at 6 o'clock with the pregame. They'll get things kicked off just past 7 o'clock at Lucas Oil Stadium in beautiful downtown Indianapolis, Indiana, coming up this evening. Great to have you aboard. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio app, as well as the KGYM mobile app. And your smart speaker, as well as the KGYM stream. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins me coming up in just a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass. And you out there at 319-366-1600. That is our text line. That is our phone line as well, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you on the show here today, which is known as Black Monday in many circles. After the completion of the National Football League season, three coaches dismissed today, one over the weekend. Vic Fangio of the Denver Broncos was shown the door on Sunday morning after the Broncos completed their season, falling to the Kansas City Chiefs. Today, two that were expected and one that was unexpected. And Mark Dukes joins me on this Monday edition of the program. You and your team are now looking for a coach and a general manager, aren't you?
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And not surprising, looking for a new GM as well. And that's to be expected in my mind. But, yeah, last night I stayed up a bit longer than I anticipated. I could not retire without watching the end of that Vegas Chargers game because it was so impactful, not only to those two teams, but to the Pittsburgh Steelers, a great drama, a bit of a controversy, but what a way to end the season.
Yeah, it was a crazy way to end the season. No doubt about that, as we had the overtime game last night that could have ended in a tie, didn't end in a tie. I mean, we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit, but boy, tell you what, like it or not, National Football League knows how to get it done, Mark, and they should be commended for the way Week 18 played out. As you come down to the last second of your season in what game 292 or whatever it was, I can't remember, and you know the fate of three teams in their playoff lives are on the line. In the last minute of the overtime of the last game, you know you're doing things right.
Well, it's a stroke of good luck. There's no question about that. But it was also terrific theater, as I said. And if I said it once, I'd say it a million times. The NFL needs to get rid of ties.
Yes.
There should be no ties in the NFL. I realize the Steelers played Detroit to a tie earlier in the year. I mean, that could have Man, Pittsburgh was 9-8 instead of 9-7-1. And then for last night to come down to a possible tie, we don't need ties in the NFL.
I 110% agree with you. We would not be talking about all this rigmarole about, oh, Brandon Staley being grilled for a half hour about calling a timeout with under a minute to play in that game. And yeah, I thought he answered the question very well. We wanted to get things together defensively. I commend both the Raiders and the Chargers for playing it out. I had my doubts, but I thought the Raiders played it exactly the way they should. Had a chance to have the worst case scenario. It was going to be a tie, and the Raiders were going to get into the playoffs. And I thought Derek Carr, after the game, talking to Michelle Tafoya, said it very, very well that, hey, we knew what we were doing. Yes, we knew that the worst case scenario was going to be that we were going to tie, we were going to get into the playoffs. But we were going to play to win the game. Sorry, Herm Edwards. But that's the way it played out. Raiders played it the way they should have. And listen, when was the last time a field goal was blocked in the National Football League? Seriously. The rules now basically have taken the blocked field goal out of play. You can block a punt sometimes, but I can't even remember the last time a field goal was blocked in the National Football League. These kickers are so good, and now you can't take the center out and come up the middle. You got to come out from the outside. You can jump over the center, but there aren't a lot of guys that can jump over the center when he's in a crouch position. Raiders were either going to win that game or it was going to be a tie. And if there are no ties, then, hey, we wouldn't even have discussion right now about this, right?
Right. And had it been a tie, the Raiders and Chargers both would have gotten the playoffs. The Steelers would have been left out. You know what? If the Raiders settle for a tie, they get the Chiefs. And instead, the Raiders play the Bengals on Saturday afternoon. No great bargain by any means, but I think a bit of a better matchup. Not a lot, but the Raiders getting in with that win. The Chargers on the sidelines. Chargers are a good team to be sitting at home.
They are. I tell you right now, the Chargers are 80 times better than the Philadelphia Eagles. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry if there are Ryan Bundy, rest of you Eagle fans out there. I'm sorry, but the Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington football team and the Giants got the Philadelphia Eagles into the playoffs. There's no other explanation in the world. Jalen Hurts, I think, is going to be a pretty good quarterback, but the LA Chargers are a lot better team than Philadelphia Eagles. Should be a fun super wild card weekend coming up in the National Football League, and we'll have those games coming up Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for you. Yes, there is a Monday night game coming up next week, and what is that, Cardinals and the Rams? Is that the Monday night? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. I did get a correct prediction over the weekend, talking with a few Chiefs fans yesterday. I said, hey, Chiefs-Steelers is going to be the Sunday night game. Are you kidding? NBC not having possibly Ben Roethlisberger's. It's either going to be Ben's last game or it's going to be the great story of Ben willing the Pittsburgh Steelers onto the next round. I said, mark it down. It's going to be the Sunday night game. And it was a Sunday night game. I got one right.
It is the Sunday night game, and the Chiefs are favored by double digits. Here's your schedule. Saturday, two games, 3:30, Raiders and Bengals. And then at 7:15, Patriots and Bills, one of three games I really have my eye on, Scott. Sunday, three games, Eagles and Bucks at noon, 49ers at the Cowboys, 3:30. That's the second game I have my eye on. And then at night, Steelers and Chiefs, as you mentioned. Monday night, the third game I have my eye on, Cardinals and Rams, Monday night.
Rams looked great for about 2.5 quarters, and then, yesterday. 3-1-9.
The Cardinals blew it against the Seahawks.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so. Cardinals, have they won a real big game yet under Kingsbury? This is a team that's not on a particularly good roll right now, are the Cardinals. But they play much better on the road this year. I'm with you. I don't think the Cowboys wanted to see the San Francisco 49ers. I think they wanted to see a lot of teams other than the San Francisco 49ers. That is a good, good football team. And as long as Garoppolo doesn't give the ball away to the other team, the 49ers are, they're, I think they could be, they can make some noise. We'll see. Tell you what, I think, again, other than the Eagles, I don't think the Eagles have a chance, but everybody else, you can make a case for winning at least a game in the playoffs. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is. Almost every team has been through its ups and downs. Some are playing better than others. I mean, you talk about that Arizona team that went into Green Bay and lost by a field goal. It swept San Francisco. That's a very good football team, but to lose, what is it, 4 out of your last 5? That's not a good sign.
69-36 does let me know the Cardinals beat the Cowboys, but that was pretty early in the year, if I recall. And yes, it was a good win. Now they got to, yeah, we'll see. Cardinals did get that one, but as of late, Cardinals have not been playing very well. 78-54. The storybook ending would be for the Steelers to go all the way in the Super Bowl with Big Ben after barely making it to the playoffs. Within 3 seconds of possibly not getting into the playoffs were the Pittsburgh Steelers. 2 seconds, actually, last night, if that game would have ended in a tie. 90-49, Justin Herbert, not my words, 90-49's words, Justin Herbert made throws Aaron Rodgers couldn't. Wow. Justin Herbert's really, really good, ladies and gentlemen.
He was terrific, and you know, Garoppolo was as well. That was a performance by two quarterbacks that, you know, you put them in the elite level with, Aaron Rodgers, no. But they were really, really good in a really tight game.
Yeah, 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Gym Class on KGYM. As we talk a little NFL with you on this Monday edition of the show, as the playoffs are coming up right around the corner. Also want to let everybody know that tonight we have the national championship game, as I mentioned, and with that in mind and the fact that both the Iowa State women and Iowa State men are on the road, there is no Cyclone courtside show coming up tonight. That will resume next week. Fortuitous, I believe, as a lot of eyeballs and ears are going to be tuned to the national championship game coming up this evening. Going to talk some wrestling here in about 15 minutes or so with KJ Pilcher of the Gazette. Thoughts welcome about the upcoming playoffs, 319-366-1600. All right, Dallas and the Cardinals were just a few weeks ago. I apologize to all the Cardinal fans I have made angry out there. I like the Cardinals. I don't follow them particularly much, but I like watching them play. I think they got a good team. Other than that, they have not played a lot of good football as of late, especially at home. Can I say that, though?
Yeah, when you lose 4 out of 5 at the end of the year, that's not good.
yeah, very much so. Very much so. But this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. And if week 18 is anything like the playoffs are going to be, that's why the National Football League is king right now. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of the National Football League, over the weekend, an Iowa Hawkeye declared his intention to go into the NFL draft. Dane Belton, the linebacker/safety for the Iowa football team, made it known that he is not coming back. He will put his name into the NFL draft. So a little bit of an opening there. Going to be interesting to see who's going to take that cash position over next year as far as the Iowa football team is concerned. Is that a Xavier Wampa position? A lot of people have kind of pointed in that direction. I'm not sure. Xavier's got to get a little bit bigger, I think. He's got all the ability and all the talent in the world, and he will get bigger, no doubt. As far as getting into Iowa City, getting into the weight room, getting into the strength and conditioning program of a D1 school. Iowa certainly has the bodies back there, Mark, and it'll be interesting to see who is going to step into that cash position.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. You know, some people refer to Iowa as tight end U. Some refer to it as offensive line U. A very good argument can be made that it's a defensive back U. Michael Ojemudia for Denver had a terrific game yesterday, and you haven't heard much about him because you have guys like Desmond King, Micah Hyde, and others. But Ojemudia, I didn't watch much of the All-America Bowl, but did see that he recovered an onside kick. And the Graves kid from out west, with a sack headed for Iowa on the defensive line. He reportedly played very, very well.
Yeah. I did not catch the game. But
you were watching birdies in Hawaii.
Yeah, I was watching 34 under and college basketball as well. We might get to the golf coming up in a little bit. That was some crazy stuff out there. 321 here on the Gym Class on KGYM, 319-366-1600. Sebastian Castro, yeah, I think that's a possibility as well. Iowa's got plenty of guys as far as a defensive secondary is concerned. There are no limits, I think, to what Iowa could do as far as the cash position coming up next year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I really like Belton. I think he's got a chance to have a really nice NFL career, and not really surprised that he declared. Of course, Riley Moss is coming back, so a little bit of a differing of opinions there on those two players. 77-69, what analytics would convince you to go for it on fourth down from your own 18-yard line? That's referring to the Chargers' decision last night, which I thought at the time, terrible.
Well, we've kind of talked about it. Analytics have taken a beating in the NFL over the last couple of weeks. Your Bears yesterday, I believe, set a brand new National Football League mark for going for it on fourth down instead of kicking field goals. And it didn't go well at any moment. And it wasn't Andy Dalton's fault either, everybody. Andy Dalton, or anyone, can't throw the ball with seven guys coming after him, like the Vikings did yesterday, every time on fourth down. Kick a field goal, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, three times the Bears faced fourth and one and tried to attempt a pass each time. Just horrible play calls, horrible execution. You know, at some point, I believe a little bit in analytics, but sometimes it's just common sense and instinct. You know, if I'm playing blackjack and I'm going to play the odds, but sometimes I'm going to go with my instincts. I'm not going to split queens when the dealer has a five showing. That's just stupid. And I know people have done that, come out smelling like a rose. That's stupid. At some point, you just need to – coaches kind of overthink the room in terms of analytics and whatnot. Answer the question, fourth down on your own 18-yard line, I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
The one I don't get, and it happened yesterday, it is just – it's mind-boggling to me, is the fact that if you are down – what was it, 15? 15. And yes, 15. Chargers are down 15. You get a touchdown, 6 points, you're down 9. You go for two. That's what analytics tell you. To go for two at that time instead of kicking the field goal, bringing it to a one-score game, and then going for the two-pointer. I have not figured that out, because if you don't get the two, then you have to score two more times. That's the one I cannot figure out. If you have to make it from your own 18-yard line, by all means, or if you need points in a bad way, or if you need points to get in the playoffs or what have you, yes, absolutely. Not saying that that isn't the right thing to do. But there was, and Brandon Staley has gone for it more often than any other coach or coaches combined in the National Football League, and 81-86 letting us know that Herbert accounted for 20% of all successful fourth downs this season in the National Football League. Yes, because he had more opportunities to get it on fourth down. There wasn't a fourth down in less than three that the LA Chargers did not like this year. And they went for it more often than not. Trust me, having to play the Chargers twice a year, I see it many, many, many times.
Well, obviously it's the play calls, the execution. The likelihood that you're going to make a fourth and one, fourth and two, fourth and three. You need to have a body of work in your playbook to call the proper play. Obviously, most of the times the defense is going to stack the line of scrimmage. It takes guts to call a jet sweep over something that isn't between the tackles. I don't know. It's... They're gambles. That's why some head coaches have jobs, others don't.
Really surprised Brian Flores is out in Miami today.
Yeah.
Thought he was a really good coach. He is going to end up coaching somewhere next year. One of these six jobs, five other jobs that are open is going to be Brian Flores's. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The reasoning for his dismissal in Miami apparently was the fact he did not get along with upper management. And if that's the case, that sometimes happens. And you move on. Best to cut bait at this time, I think, if you're the Miami Dolphins. Did not get along with Tua Tagovailoa as well, apparently. And I think everyone kind of knew about that over the last year or so, or maybe since Tua got there anyway. But Brian Flores is going to be a head coach, I think, next year somewhere in the National Football League. This guy is a terrific mind, very good defensive coach, and you don't see guys, when they win, 8 of their last 9 or something like that, Miami did, and you just don't see that. Second time, I believe, I read in history of the National Football League that a coach that won 8 of their last 9 was let go.
Yeah, that was the surprising thing to me this morning. Brian Flores was 9-8 this year and finished one game below 500 in his brief tenure in Miami. Of course, we knew that Mike Zimmer was going to be gone in Minnesota. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace gone as the head coach and GM with the Chicago Bears. You mentioned Denver, Vic Fangio being let go. And Jacksonville and Vegas open as well. And I mentioned this, I don't like anybody to see anybody lose their job. The thing about these guys that I just mentioned, from Flores to Fangio, in the National Football League, they're going to be on a staff next year. I mean, no, it's not good when you lose one of only 32 positions in the world. Head coach of a National Football League team. That's not good when you lose that job. Same token, the NFL kind of is in the recycling business. And Flores is going to have a job. I think Nagy's going to have a job somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Doing what? I don't know. Zimmer will have a job.
Nagy, both those guys will be an assistant somewhere or a coordinator for some team next year. That is the case, and I agree with you about that. 3:28, we've got the national championship game coming up tonight for you, Alabama and Georgia. And that will get underway at 6 o'clock with the pregame just past 7 o'clock. And that is the time for the kickoff of that one. Mark, I want to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot. And behind Taco John's. Right now, we are in the middle of this week's edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. We picked games last Friday. I believe Dave and I are, no, you're 1-2. I am 2-1. Is Dave 3-0, or is that a wild guess on my part?
Dave is 3-0. He's off to another hot start. We've got the national championship game tonight. The winner of that game plus the total. And we also picked the Iowa-Indiana basketball game coming up on Thursday. Also on the scoreboard today, the final FCS football rankings are out for the year. You and I finished 23rd. And, of course, your national champion, North Dakota State. One of its quarterbacks, Cam Miller, the former Solon star, throwing a touchdown pass and having a fine game in that national championship game on Saturday. Congratulations to Cam. We have the first female manager in minor league baseball. Rachel Balkovic has been named the manager of the Low A Tampa team in the Yankees organization. She had previously been an assistant hitting coach. And finally, Don Maynard has died. One of the great wide receivers in NFL history. A Hall of Famer inducted in 1987. He helped Joe Namath's guarantee of a Super Bowl III victory by helping the Jets win that game. Don Maynard, 86.
Yeah, old number 13 for the New York Jets. Very, very good receiver. Kind of a lot like Cooper Kupp, to be honest with you. A yesteryear Cooper Kupp type guy.
Boy, Kupp is good.
Yes,
wow.
He is. Cooper Kupp could be the MVP of this league. He's going to be the Triple Crown receiving champion, or was the Triple Crown receiving champion in the National Football League. First time since Steve Smith did that. Guy special, no doubt about that. 331-8083 lets me know. Go for two first to know if you need one or two more possessions. Clock management is affected or need for an onside kick. Well, you don't get onside kicks anymore in the National Football League. So we agree to disagree. I am kicking the extra point and getting it to 8. That's what I'm doing. But I'm old, though. Mark, you're old. That's the way we would do it.
Yeah, but I try to stay up with the times. And the times tonight are the national championship game. Who wins, Georgia or Alabama? Go ahead and vote at our poll question at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City.
And by the way, stay with us. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Todd and Spencer, they're going to be live at Barrel House in Marion from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock coming up this evening. You can swing on by for their Monday night special. It's a $7.99 burger basket. So they'll be there. Stop by and say hi. They're over on Tower Terrace Road next to the new Y over in Marion. Weather forecast and a break. We'll come back. KJ Pilcher of the Gazette will join us, and we'll talk high school and college wrestling with KJ right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
From the Weather First Forecast Center, I'm meteorologist Sarah Flynn. It will be a frigid night ahead of us. By tomorrow morning, we'll be down to 1 degree under mostly clear skies. Some good news for Tuesday afternoon, though. We'll have breezy conditions from the south, plenty of sunshine. High temperatures will top off in the mid-30s. Overnight Tuesday into Wednesday, we only drop down to the low 20s. We'll stay warm both Wednesday and Thursday, but by the end of the week, we are tracking a snow chance. And that was your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First Forecast.
The College Football Championship is here, and to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds on either team to win. That means you can bet $5 to win $150 on either team to win it all. If you like Alabama, 30-1 odds. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code COON and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. Already have FanDuel Sportsbook? FanDuel is hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. Don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet on the College Football Championship. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app or head to sportsbook.fanduel.com KJ.com and sign up using promo code KUHN to get 30-1 odds on either Alabama or Georgia to win the college football championship. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Back bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Start the new year off right with Menards Bag Sale. Pick up a bag in store and get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag now through January 15th. Whether you pack it, load it, stuff it, or stack it, from light bulbs to tools, snacks, and much more, fit it in the bag and save 15%. So pick up a bag in store and find out how much you fit in the bag now through January 15th. Available in store only at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When it comes to choosing a Medicare Advantage plan, Blue is affordable. Blue is convenient. Blue is staying healthy. And now, Blue is Medicare Advantage from Wellmark Advantage Health Plan. All-in-one plans including medical and drug coverage, plus health benefits like dental, vision, hearing, fitness, and more. Some available at $0 premiums. Compare plans at WellmarkAdvantage.com. Walmart Advantage Health Plan is a PPO and an HMO plan with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Walmart Advantage Health Plan depends on contract renewal.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We are back on the Gym Class Monday edition here on KGYM at 3:36. Thank you very much for joining us. Alabama, Georgia coming up tonight. Kick just past 7 o'clock. We'll have it on all of our frequencies right here on KGYM. I'm going to talk some wrestling with you right now, and our Monday talk with the Gazette's KJ Pilcher is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. And Kurt located right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee on the northwest side on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. And a very big weekend of wrestling. Big crowds at Carver Hawkeye Arena as KJ Pilcher joining us here on this Monday edition of the show. And a lot of parallels between a guy that unfortunately had his season come to an end last weekend, announced that, and the heir apparent who has come into Carver in the same fashion that Spencer Lee did. Were you surprised Drake Ayala took the red shirt off and wrestled this weekend, KJ? Whoop, are we there? KJ, can you hear me? All right, let's try this. Are you there? All right, well, we'll try to get that back and ready to go here. And that was a great opening, Mark.
I thought so.
Ben, we'll get him back on the phone, and we'll try it again with KJ coming up here. As he, could he hear me? Ben is looking puzzled at me right now. Anyway, Drake Ayala was not supposed to wrestle, ended up wrestling on Friday night and yesterday afternoon. Yesterday afternoon picked up a big-time victory over a top-five rated wrestler from Purdue. Fell in a rematch on Friday night. So that's the way that played out. But Spencer Lee also came in this dramatic fashion. If you recall, Spencer Lee took off the red shirt right after the holiday break. It wasn't Spencer Lee doing that. It was the Iowa coaching staff taking off the red shirt and getting him out on the mat. So that's what we have. All right, we're going to take two. We're going to try it again. All right, going to hit this. Going to hit this. And I'm going to talk to KJ. Can you hear me, KJ?
Yes, I can.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't know what happened.
Hey, we're ready to rock and roll, as Bobby Telford would say.
I don't know what happened, but I had a great intro to you about Drake Ayala coming out of the tunnel for the first time at Carver Hawkeye. Were you surprised?
No. I really wasn't. I wasn't sure if he would come out Friday against Minnesota. That was the one thing that maybe was something I didn't necessarily expect, but definitely thought we'd see him this weekend. Just because he'd wrestled McKee. That was his third match with McKee in less than a month. And, you know, you might want to save that, you know, maybe for down the road at the Big Tens or something like that. But wasn't really surprised to see him. You know, it was just a matter of time. And, of course, you know, he Sunday, he wrestled well against McKee. Kind of got caught up in one big move that resulted in 4 points, and that you kind of attribute that to, you know, kind of freshman experience. And he looked fantastic Sunday against Devin Schroeder, who Spencer Lee beat in the finals of the Big Ten Championships last year. So Schroeder was ranked fifth, but I tell you what, you could even see the gains that he was making from Friday to Sunday, and that says a lot about Drake Ayala, and the ceiling is very, very high for him.
KJ, it didn't sound like Tom Brands was all too happy with Friday's match. There was five or six matches decided by 1 or 2 points, and then it was a little bit different against Purdue. What was your take?
Yeah, they looked sluggish. You know, Tom Brands repeatedly said he was agitated. And I think because, you know, they're a little bit slower outside of a couple weights. You know, Ava Saad looked good on Friday. Jacob Warner started really well, but kind of shut down later. So, you know, and a lot of the other matches were tighter with Marinelli and DeSanto and Ironman. You know, the loss at 157. So that was something that I think led to that agitation for him. But they came out Sunday. They were very aggressive. They looked a lot sharper and crisper overall. You know, Marinelli bounced back and scored 22 points in the technical fall. Kemmerer looked good both days. Really, even though he didn't get a major that first time out on Friday night. But he came back with a 17-1 technical fall. Both Murin and Caleb Young with major decisions there. Of course, Cassiope with a pin. Assad with a win over Max Lyon, who's a former Western Dubuque two-time state champ. And, of course, Ayala's victory. So they were a lot more aggressive. I think they had a 27-4 advantage in takedowns. And if you take away 133, DeSanto took the day off, according to Brands. You know, they only gave up a takedown in one match that they won, winning 9 out of 10. So they were, you know, they kind of righted the ship a little bit and had a lot more energy and looked a lot stronger against Purdue, which I will say Purdue, that's not a team you really look at as far as, you know, a perennial power or anything like that. And they're still not there, but they were 7-1 coming in, and they'd beat Nebraska, who's like right on the verge of the top 10 on Friday. So Tony Ursland has a very good team. So that's a pretty impressive win on Sunday.
Yeah, it was. And yeah, before we leave the college ranks, everything you need to know about the world of wrestling was shown Friday night after Gable Stevenson's big win over Cassiope. And when he's on the road and getting a standing ovation from, you know, 19,000 or 15,000 wrestling fans, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it really was. And I mean, you know, Tony Cassiope is a pretty popular figure for Iowa wrestling, and for him to kind of annihilate Tony the way he did, and he does that to just about everybody he faces, and for them to stand up and applaud him, that's something where it's more than just rivalry. It's more than just wins and losses when it comes to a fan base that really understands wrestling, and they understand what Gable Steveson has done in the sport of wrestling. He's an Olympic champ. They appreciate that. You know, they know what he's accomplished. And it's just one of those things of, you know, just acknowledging a great in the sport. And even if it's for somebody wearing other colors. And you know, they did that Friday night. And it was really special. I mean, it was one of those things where they just slowly got up and started clapping. And, you know, you could tell it meant a lot to him because he stopped and acknowledged the crowd and, you know, kind of blew kind of a quick kiss, you know, to the Iowa fans and pumped his fist a little bit. And you could tell it meant a lot to him as well.
KJ, I was asked if there's ever been another Olympic champion come back in college and wrestle at Carver, and I was thinking maybe Kyle Snyder.
That would be the only one I could think of, to be honest with you. I can't think of very many college wrestlers that have won Olympic titles. I'm not sure when John Smith won his first and if Okie State came back to Carver. But, you know, I guess the only one I could think of would be Kyle Snyder.
Yeah, yeah. KJ Pilcher joining us here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Let's turn our attention to the high school scene from last Saturday. You were over in Van Horn at the Eckenrod hosted by Benton. Just rated battles all over the place, and it never disappoints over there, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, that's one of the top tournaments, not only competition-wise, but the way they run it. Sean Fiffner over there. Jerry Eckenrod's legacy is in good hands. They run a great show, and they do it efficiently, and it's just a great all-around experience.
It was. How did it go? Some great White Volker. You wrote about him, I know, on Sunday, but getting the win over the Northwest kid and just like you said, rated battles all over the place.
Yeah, and I tell you what, West Delaware, they came away with a team title. It's kind of interesting when you look at, you know, the final tally of champions and stuff, and Waukee Northwest had three, I think, to lead the way. Union Community had two. I think there's another team in there that had Don Bosco had two as well, but it was West Delaware that only had one in Wyatt Volker, and yet they won the tournament by 43 points. You know, they had 10 wrestlers finish in the top four better. One more finished fifth. I mean, they are a team or they are a program that puts out a competitive guy at each weight. And I mean, it's amazing the balance that they have. And that really showed, you know, in that tough field. And speaking of Wyatt Volker, I know it was something to see. I mean, he dropped down to 195 last week. Thursday was the first time that he had been at that weight, dropping down from 220. And he absolutely annihilated his five opponents over Thursday and Saturday. And, you know, he was wrestling a quality kid in Tanner Spikesma from Waukee Northwest. You know, that was a match. He's ranked fourth in 3A, I believe. That was a match that was scoreless till 12 seconds in left in the first. That's when Volker got his first takedown, and then he just blew the doors open in the second period, scoring 14 points, and then ended it with more than a minute 30 left to go. So he essentially got 20 points in a 2-minute and 35-second span, and that's saying something against a kid that's going to be a title contender in Class 3A for you to have that kind of dominance. And one of the things is, you know, he's very powerful. And I think you're very familiar with what he's done on the football field and, you know, the toughness that he has there. But he puts so much pressure on guys, you know, through that first minute 30, that first period, that they just can't sustain it. And that's why he ends up pulling away and really dominating the second half of his matches, just because he's put so much pressure on him, whether he scores or doesn't, and it leads to his offense. And one of the things that really kind of stood out about him, you know, he's going to go to UNI next year. That's a great get for Doug Schwab and the Panthers. he showed his athleticism. We talk about his power and his strength, but boy, he was hitting outside singles. He zipped over Spicemo once to get a takedown and then put him right on his back for near fall points at the end of the second period. I mean, he's just an amazing specimen there. And, you know, it's going to be hard for him to beat whether he goes 95 or 220.
Lisbon and Albernette got team titles at Tripola and Highland, respectively. What'd you make of those results?
Yeah, you know, Lisbon wrestled really well. Of course, that's nothing new. They put seven champs and put eight in the finals. You know, Lisbon looks like they're kind of getting in the form a little bit. You know, they're led by Quincy Happel and Cade Seabreck. I think a lot of people recognize those names when it comes to Lisbon. But, you know, I think they're starting to get some big contributions from some other guys in the lineup that really will solidify their attempts when it comes to the postseason. You know, Indy Harbaugh came away with a title at 145. You know, Wyatt Smith, you know, he's been behind Baltus for a couple years, and he steps in at heavyweight now in his first year as a starter, and he's winning titles, and he won again Saturday. And, of course, Indy Ferguson and Max Cole, those are two upperweight guys that won titles that are going to be crucial for them for their success. I know one of the individual results that really kind of stuck out and actually went against Lisbon's favor there was at 120 pounds between Garrett Rinkin of Nashua Plainfield and Brandon Piaz for Lisbon. Piaz, a two-time state finalist and state champ 2 years ago. He's ranked number one. Rinkin ranked number two. Both were undefeated, and Rinkin came away with a pin in 552 over Piaz. That was a match that Rinkin pretty much led throughout. He got a takedown in the first. He had two escapes that bracketed a Piaz takedown, and then he got another takedown in the third before the pin. So that was Piaz's first loss. I'm sure one that he'll learn from and bounce back from, but I think that says a lot about Garrett Rinkin coming away with a big win there for the Huskies. Overall, really good performance for Lisbon. And, of course, Albernette, you know, they went down to Highland at the Gary Curtis Invitational. This is a program that, you know, wasn't necessarily a factor team-wise the last couple of years. They've kind of had a cycle where they were down, and now things have really seemed to really rise back up for the Pirates and Clayton Rush out there. You know, they beat Wilton, who's a good 1A team. They beat Wilton by 13 points. Came away with two champs in Brody Neighbor and Carson Klosterman. And I think the bigger thing there is they had seven guys in the top three. So that's telling me, you know, it's not just the big guns that are performing. They're getting a good balanced performance from their guys. So they're going to be a team to really kind of look at when sectionals start, maybe even when duels come around, depending on where they get sent. You know, if they make for, the regional duels. And, of course, they had five finalists, so that was good. One of the things that also stood out there, Aaron Boone for Washington, you know, he's a freshman at 113. He came away with a title there beating Wilton's Brody Brisker 5-4. Brisker's ranked number two in 1A. But he's now 31-0. A freshman there for Washington. So he's somebody that's really taken, you know, this area by storm here in his first year. And he earned the OW award, one of two Washington champions there at that tournament. So that's somebody to really kind of keep your eyes on as things progress and we get closer to the postseason. Yeah. He got to a great start.
In our last couple minutes here, Lindmar had a very good showing at their own tournament. Talk about that. And then got the Jayhawk coming up this weekend, among other battles on Saturday.
Yeah. Lindmar won their dual tournament, beating Western Dubuque 51-24 in the finals, I think. You know, they kind of rolled through that. I think their average margin of victory was 44.6 points over their five duels. So, you know, they did really well. Mount Vernon was third, Xavier fourth, Solon fifth, Marion sixth in that field. But here's one of the things that really kind of stood out for Lindmar. They've got five ranked guys in Braden Park, Kane Knock-Gaborin, Tate Knock-Gaborin, Luke Gaffney, and Grant Press. And those five combined to go 25-0 on Saturday. And 24 of those wins were bonus point victories. So that says a lot about their dominance. Those five guys are the core of that team, and they're going to put up big points, whether it's dual-wise or tournament-wise. The other thing, too, with Kane Knock-Gaborin, the only non-bonus point victory was his decision over Jackson Jaspers of Mount Vernon. Kane Knock-Gaborin bumped up from 132 to 138 in that Mount Vernon duel to get that victory. So that was an impressive win for him. He's ranked third in Class 3A, and Jaspers is seventh in 2A. So a really big weekend for them. And, of course, they're going to have a big big duel on Thursday here, Lindmar and Cedar Rapids Prairie. We have a couple of interesting duels in the metro with Lindmar and Prairie. That's always a highly contested duel. I know I've been there multiple times where it's come down to the very last match before it's decided. So we're very could have the same thing going. You know, Prairie's coming off performance at the Jack Mendenhall where they got sixth. Blake Jimo won a title there in Ames, and Carter Dolly, I believe at heavyweight, got third. So interesting duels between Lindmar and Prairie, and then Xavier and Kennedy on Thursday night. And like you said, the Jayhawk and at Jefferson, that's always a top tournament. I know there's going to be some special awards given out to honor Wyatt Schultz. So that's going to add to it a little bit. And then Marion hosts the Schaefer invite, the Lloyd Schaefer invite on Saturday, which has a lot of the smaller schools in the area there. So two big tournaments there. And Solon will have the Haydenfeld Invitational. I believe Lisbon is there, and there'll be some great matchups at Solon as well. So three real marquee tournaments within, a short drive of each other.
Awesome. Hey, real quick, one of the 10 olds did not wrestle for Don Bosco. We got a question here on the text line. You know why?
I'm not sure. And I get kind of mixed up with those twins. I know one of them committed to North Carolina here recently. I don't know if one of them maybe had taken a trip. A recruiting visit before then. But I will say this, there were a few people that forfeited and missed Saturday's tournament at Benton because of illness, and that might be a reason there. But I'm not exactly sure why the other 10 did not wrestle.
All right. Thanks, KJ. Appreciate all the info, man. KJ Pilcher, read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter. Mark, who wins tonight, Alabama, Georgia? You sticking with Georgia?
I picked Georgia, but I don't like that pick at all, but got to stick with it.
Sticking with Alabama. We'll have it coming up for you tonight right here on KGYM starting at 6 o'clock with the pregame show and just past 7 o'clock with the kickoff. That is the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next, and they will be out on the north side of Marion at the Barrel House. Stop by and visit them between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn is hitting the road. Join us at Barrel House in Marion today from 4 to 6. We'll be doing our show live and spending some quality time with Travis from Wild Rose Casino and Hotel, reviewing and previewing the latest in sports betting in Iowa.